Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we are joined by Libby Emmons from the Post-Millennial. An incredibly important story that's dangerous, and it takes your breath away, about how the Department of Justice is simultaneously raiding Trump operatives and allies all across America. An extraordinary story. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're also joined by Steve Cortez for an economic update. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. And get involved right now with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. In 1960, there was a presidential election that has been talked about and studied in a variety of different ways. A lot of shenanigans that happened in Chicago, Illinois, with Mayor Daley, a very close election. But what's not talked about is what happened in Hawaii. In the 1960 presidential election, on the night of the election, it showed that Nixon had won by a slight margin. There was a court-ordered recount, and then it shows that John F. Kennedy had won. The result was considered an upset, as Nixon had been thought to likely win the state's electoral votes. Now, the significance of this is that by the time the then Vice President of the United States, Richard Nixon, who was Dwight D. Eisenhower's vice president, they actually sent two slates of electors when they had to have the electoral count process, which happened on, I don't know if it was January 6, 1961, but it was right around that period of time. And so there is precedent in states that are hotly contested, where there's pending court cases, the potential for recounts, for a state to send multiple slates of electors to Congress to have the Vice President of the United States then have to make a decision under the 1887 Electoral Count Act. So that election and the subsequent recount are notable, largely because it was the first occurrence of dueling electoral slates in American history. Now also, this almost occurred in the 2000 United States presidential recount in Florida, where then Congresswoman Patsy Mink suggested the election could serve as a potential precedent to allow then Al Gore. Isn't it interesting how it's the person running for office that sometimes gets mixed into this? Nixon, Gore, and Pence. Anyway, Congresswoman Patsy Mink said that Al Gore could challenge the official results beyond the Electoral Count's safe harbor deadline because of how close Florida was. And then, of course, the 2020 election, with the questions in Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Nevada, using precedent from the 1960 presidential election and Hawaii in particular, and how a court overturned that from Nixon to Kennedy, the Trump campaign and many of the allies in Trump's orbit said, why don't we send a backup slate of electors in case something gets overturned or new information gets presented forward? Well, you're not allowed to do that anymore. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is now issuing raids and subpoenas to multiple people that were involved or connected to this idea of sending alternate electors in case something else happened for the then vice president during counting the electoral votes to have a backup slate of electors with us to help unpack this extraordinary overreach of government is Libby Emmons from the Post-Millennial. Libby, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. Glad to be here.
So what is going on here? What laws were potentially violated? And why is the FBI going after Republican Party operatives and confiscating their cell phones? What's going on here?
So these are really good questions. Essentially, what's going on is, as you said, an alternate group of electors were formed so that in the event that the recalls were in Trump's favor, these people would be able to cast their ballots for him. And now these people are being targeted for having undertaken that duty as though they had done something in secret, as though they had lied about it. Meanwhile, they had posted photographs of themselves on Instagram, you know, creating these alternate electoral groups in the event that the legal challenges were successful. There were legal challenges all over the place, and it does seem to make sense for the Republicans in those states to have been prepared for successful legal challenges.
So just so everyone understands, the FBI is raiding and subpoenaing people in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. How many people have they done in the last 48 hours? This is a story that no one's talking about. I mean, the FBI go ahead, Libby.
Yeah. No, I saw four definitely that were in the past 24 hours. There were additionally people in Nevada. There was GOP chairman in Nevada, Michael McDonald, as well as GOP party secretary, James Graffenreid. There were also subpoenas for Brad Carver in Georgia, Thomas Lane, who had worked on the campaign in Arizona and New Mexico, who was in Virginia when he was served. David Schaefer in Georgia, who is a GOP chair, and Sean Flynn of Michigan. It's not entirely clear what activity was related to a federal probe, whether that activity was related to a federal probe or state-level criminal inquiry is what the Washington Post reported.
But this is all simultaneous, though, right, Libby? This is just So the committee is meeting on this topic, and then in almost perfect harmony, the FBI is raiding Republicans? How is this not the number one story in the country right now?
It's not the number one story in the country because the number one story in the country has to be what the narrative spinners want it to be, and they don't want it to be this. We see this over and over again. Fascinating information comes out, and it remains substantially underreported. There's also this sort of wall between legacy media outlets on one side and media outlets on the other side. And it takes a few days for the stories to migrate from one political perspective to another. I find it fascinating, like just tracking the news every day, but that's a separate thing. I think in many ways, what this is about is trying to prevent Trump from running again. These people are being accused of conspiring to overturn valid election results. In no way is that what was going on here. They were alternate electors, as you mentioned, with the Hawaii case, Kennedy, Nixon. It's not without precedent. It's rare. It's not without precedent, however. And now we're seeing political operatives, Trump supporters, conservatives being targeted by the FBI, being directly targeted by the Department of Justice, all to bolster this January 6th committee that has the primary goal of discrediting conservative values potentially, and also to prevent Trump from running again. They know that he's still wildly popular and they don't want him anywhere near Washington.
I just want to make sure our audience understands this is the Department of Justice. This is not the committee. Mm-hmm. Now, they might be connected. They might be working in harmony, but this is the FBI. I want to read from a tweet here, and it echoes what you said, Libby. Las Vegas CBS affiliate. This is from Laura Rosen on Twitter. Quote, FBI agent served a search warrant Wednesday on Nevada's top Republican official. Agents seized the cell phone of state Republican Chairman Michael McDonald, reportedly as part of an investigation into the fake elector scheme initiated at the end of the 2020 election. A second search warrant was issued for state party secretary, as you said, James Graffenreid, who also signed the document. FBI agents could not locate him Wednesday, sources told KLAS. What crime could they potentially have broken here?
I don't see that there's a crime they could have done here. I don't think that there's a law they could have broken. I think that what would be alleged is that they were pressured into doing this in order to try and overturn election results. And I just doubt that that's there or even remotely what was going on here. It's shocking to see, honestly.
It's amazing. You might be eating healthy, nutritious foods, but if you have any mild digestive issues, you could probably benefit from a high-quality enzyme. I certainly do. If you've never tried enzymes, or even if you tried them, they haven't worked, I want you to give this a chance. Look, I do one cheat day a week. That is gluten-free pizza from a local pizzeria. I love pizza. And I have to tell you, I got to have enzymes alongside of it. And that's why I'm a fan of Bioptimizers. They're a supplement company where the products actually work. I asked them if we could organize a great deal for all my listeners, and they over-delivered. So right now, you get a body of Masszymes for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch. No tricks, no forced continuity, nothing to cancel. So look, when I have pizza, or if I have something that's a little suspicious, maybe carne asada with queso, a little guacamole, I have to have enzymes with it. Digestive enzymes, look, they're amazing. And they're so confident in their products that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee, so I'm positive you'll be satisfied with the results. Masszymes is a 17-enzyme full-spectrum formula with 5 different kinds of protease. Plus, it contains all the key enzymes needed for optimal digestion. Look, I'm constantly being attacked. I could be stressed every so often, getting better at managing it. You don't want to have to deal with stomach acid. I'm sure a lot of you have stomach acid challenges, so maybe enzymes, digestive enzymes, are right for you. Look, it contains AstraZyme, which is a proprietary all-natural plant-derived compound extracted from Panax ginseng, astragalus that boosts amino acid absorption by 30 to 60%. Masszymes ensure that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So many people suffer from digestive issues because here's what happens. Any protein your body does not break down creates digestive distress, gas, bloating, and constipation. Masszymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So I strongly suggest you head on over to their site and grab your bottle before they either run out or take down this offer. If you're having stomach issues, use digestive enzymes. I use them every so often, and I really appreciate what they do for me. So go to masszymes.com/kirkfree. That's masszymes.com/kirkfree, all one word. You'll automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free bottle. Limit one per household. Offer is valid while supplies last. You're going to love their products. Go right now. I want to read more from this article here from the Washington Post. January 6 probe expands with fresh subpoenas in multiple states. And now we know of at least 4 people that have been, let's say, contacted by the FBI with their devices confiscated. We don't know if they were raids, but we do know they were issued as subpoenas and that their private communications are now in the hands of the government. Libby Emmons is with us from the Post Millennial, wonderful website. Libby, is there any precedent for this, to use the Federal Bureau of Investigation to go after your political opponents? They already raided James O'Keefe's apartment. They raided Rudy Giuliani's apartment. They arrested Peter Navarro at the airport. What's going on here?
There certainly is precedent for this in other countries that are communist dictatorships.
That's exactly right.
And banana republics. We've seen that in Russia. We've seen it in China. We've seen it in Hong Kong with the CCP taking over and getting rid of any semblance of democracy whatsoever. We recently saw Zelensky in Ukraine abolish an opposition party that was pro-Russia. That's essentially a political opponent. Sure. We see this in Castro and South America. We see this all over the place in countries that do not have democracy. It's not something that we should be seeing in the United States. I don't know what these people could possibly be accused of other than these vague things like insurrection. And they were really only upholding their civic duty.
Yeah, I mean, but this is so scary. Again, I want to just say this again. What laws have been violated? What is the reason that the FBI would be able to go to a political party operative and say, give me your cell phone? It's pure intimidation. This is so beyond anything that we should tolerate or we should accept. I want to read this piece from the New York Times. And again, this happened in harmony as Brad Raffensperger, Bowers from Arizona, and Gabe Sterling all testified in front of the January 6th committee. And this is all happening simultaneously. And so I suppose the question is, Libby, where do you think this goes next? And I would imagine it goes even deeper than just these four raids. Is this going to intensify?
I think it may intensify. I think that the public deserves to know what the search warrant is asking for. Of course, you can't have just a vague search warrant. There has to be things that you are specifically requesting. And you can't be searching in a file cabinet if you're looking for a stolen refrigerator. It's just against the rules. So I think it would behoove us to ask what is being asked for on these warrants, what is being searched for, and what the you know, what the reasoning is behind this. You know, what's the probable cause here? What's this all about? It's sort of crazy to just watch it happen. And I think it also is very clear that the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, who I think still has a chip on his shoulder from when he couldn't get on the Supreme Court.
And he's in Ukraine recently, just so everyone knows. Merrick Garland, why is the Attorney General in Ukraine? Just kind of an interesting side note. But
maybe
yeah.
Does he have a son who needs a job?
No, exactly.
It's really possible.
Yeah. I hear that's what DC does. He must have actually, he does have a son-in-law that makes a bunch of money off critical race theory curriculum.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He sure does. Yeah. So, but I think that we really need to expose this and we need to demand answers as to what's going on and to why
Seriously.
These people are being investigated. And also, you know, I think that the Democratic left needs to stop being so terrified of Donald Trump. They hate his demeanor. They hate his personality. They never address anything about his policies or actual actions. They only
right.
talk about how much they don't like him.
Well, you could hate Donald Trump.
Personality contest.
Yeah, like whatever, if you hate Donald Trump. But using the force of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And by the way, let's not forget, they also deployed the FBI to go get Joe Biden's daughter's diary.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on here with the FBI that is beyond government overreach. And every Republican, every grassroots voter and patriot watching right now, we got to keep the pressure on. This is not acceptable. Steve Bannon is facing trial.
Yeah.
Navarro is in leg irons. Libby, final thoughts.
I think that we really need to not have a nation that goes after political opponents in order to expedite their, expedite their aims. This has nothing to do with the rule of law. This has only to do with intimidating voters and intimidating people that would support the opposition.
It's unbelievable. Simone Gold had 20 FBI agents hauling her off to jail for 2 months. Navarro and Bannon, and we already saw what happened to Stone and Manafort and Flynn. This is not acceptable, everybody. This is not a way a civilized country runs our business. It's not sustainable either. It's very dangerous. Okay, Libby, thank you so much. Post-millennial, check it out.
Thanks, Pat.
The feds search home of Jeffrey Clark. The raids continue. Former DOJ official who pushed CNN Trump's false election claims. I'm just amazed we are one of the few programs covering this. I have a feeling that Tucker Carlson's going to cover this tonight and many other great patriots. But so far, as this has unveiled, this is like the night of the long knives. It's happening simultaneously. While the committee is meeting, we're supposed to be the Department of Justice said, oh, yeah, by the way, let's go raid Jeffrey Clark and the head of Trump's campaign in Nevada. I mean, this is criminalizing a legal challenge. It's an extraordinary abuse of power that we are seeing. And I just want everyone watching right now in Real America's Voice, you got to get locked into this story. This is orchestrated authoritarianism. This is the biggest story happening in America right now outside of the Supreme Court. And you got to demand your lawmakers start talking about it. You got to demand your media members that have shows and programs that you watch. Why are they not talking about the fact that DOJ is just going in every corner of the country and raiding homes right now? It's unbelievable. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. There's something happening here. We can't ignore it. All right, everybody, there's no easy way to talk about this topic, but there are people, and myself included, that sometimes you got to get rid of some unwanted hair. I want to tell you about Manscaped. Manscaped has everything you need to remove unwanted hair and prepare for the summer, maybe at the pool or the beach. You'll find their Lawn Mower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, deodorant and toner with soothing aloe vera formula to help keep you in tip-top shape, even on a very hot Phoenix day. It was 125 degrees. I know people say, I don't believe it. I'll show you a picture of what our car said. Maybe the car is a little too high. But I'll tell you what, you don't want all that extra hair. Manscaped can help you. They'll even include a performance boxer briefs with a travel bag so that you can have a nice time. The Lawn Mower Trimmer is waterproof and helps reduce nicks when trimming in places that it's not always appropriate to talk about and getting rid of all the chest scruff. I have my Manscaped kit, and it's amazing, and I love it. Join the 4 million men who trust Manscaped worldwide. Right now, get 20% off free shipping with the code CharlieKirk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the code CharlieKirk at manscaped.com. Give it a try, and I'm sure you'll look your best this summer in front of who you want to look good in front of. So check it out. Get rid of the unwanted body hair with Manscaped. That's code CharlieKirk at manscaped.com. With us right now is Steve Cortez. He's phenomenal, and he knows what's going on in the economy better than almost anybody else. But I want to start asking Steve about his thoughts on these raids happening of Trump allies and officials across the country. Steve, welcome back to the program. Maybe you saw the story. Maybe you're not too up to speed on it. But just more generally, what we're seeing is the FBI is now going after Trump allies in Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, in a coordinated, multidimensional subpoena and raid strategy. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that, unfortunately, this is yet another example, and a pretty terrible one, of our country devolving into a reality where there are two systems of justice. And let me be specific what I mean about that. There is a weaponized system of justice, and I use that word really in quotes in this context, system of federal law enforcement that is all about targeting political opponents, all about weaponizing the apparatuses of the national security state and federal law enforcement against MAGA conservatives. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other system of justice for everybody else. And that is the unfortunate reality right now. And to be specific again, too, federal law enforcement, think of how ineffective and perhaps even feckless federal law enforcement was in stopping the massive riots of 2020, the BLM-inspired riots that absolutely tore American society apart, that burned blocks mm-hmm. of cities to the ground, that killed hundreds of people, perhaps even thousands, if you really do a true accounting of what went on, and really how little federal law enforcement got involved, even in that kind of carnage across America. And then contrast that with this effort to harass and intimidate, and in some cases, actually prosecute people for participating in partisan politics in the United States. Amazing. So it's reprehensible. It has to stop. And I'm an advocate that whoever is the next president, I hope it's Donald Trump, but whoever the next America First president is that's elected in 2024, really needs to get about the business of cleaning out the entire DOJ, not just the political appointees, obviously, but including even the civil servants, because many of them effectively act as the administrative yep. state's partisan hacks on behalf of the permanent political class, and they wield far too much power in our society.
I mean, you have Bannon, you have Navarro, you have these raids happening. They went after O'Keefe, they went after the diary, they went after Giuliani. This is not normal. We shouldn't put up with it. Right. Okay, so Steve, tell us, there's some economic news that is out today. It's not too good. What does it tell us?
Right. Unfortunately, and yeah, Charlie, I can't remember the last time I had good economic news to tell anybody about it. And I don't mean to laugh.
We had a different president.
People are suffering out there, and mm-hmm. I realize that. But sometimes, if you couldn't laugh, you cry. And unfortunately, there's ample reason for a lot of Americans to cry when it comes to their own pocketbooks and to the economy. And we got yet more data out just today, the latest of the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index. And what I really find valuable about PMI numbers in particular is that, number one, they're done globally, and they're done in largely the same way, and they're done by private sector sources. So it's not government data. So even in China, if you look at PMIs, you tend to get pretty valid, pretty accurate reads. The second thing I like about PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, that means the people who are purchasing for a company. In this case today, it was the manufacturing PMI. So the people who are responsible for purchasing the goods that are needed for a production company to engage in manufacturing. That means it's quite forward-looking. It tells you if they're buying stuff to turn it into a more valuable stuff, that's a great forward-looking indicator of where the economy is headed. And unfortunately, today's numbers were abysmal. They came in at only 52. The expectations for manufacturing PMI were supposed to be 56. And let me read for you, Charlie, because I think this is fascinating. You know, the word is getting out even among the corporate media about just how bad the economy is. Here's what Reuters said, believe it or not, about their reporting. And Reuters, normally, carries water for the Biden administration, does the bidding of the entire Davos crowd. So Reuters is not a friendly platform to us by any stretch. But here's what they said about this report this morning. Manufacturing growth is slowing worldwide, while the growing risk of a U.S. recession poses a new threat to the global economy. So the U.S. has not only stopped being the leader for the global economy, but according to Reuters, the U.S., given this PMI data today, we're now actually a threat to the global economy. We are a laggard. We are a weight upon the global economy. And it's because of Joe Biden, along with collaborator Republicans on Capitol Hill, but because of the disastrous economic policies that they have instituted, which has sent the American economy, unfortunately, careening into a ditch.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to people that are pretty the high levels of private equity and Wall Street. I know you do, too. And the words they're using are apocalyptic. Yeah. They're saying, you know, never before seen economic crash. I don't know if it's going to happen as quickly as 08 or 1929, but I think it could be as severe. I think it might be a slow motion car crash. Do you believe that is inevitable, Steve? Or do you think there's a way we can stop it by talking about it and maybe going through 6 months of a pretty bad recession? Or do you think that we're careening towards something that none of us have lived through in our lifetime?
Well, I think at least a very deep recession, unfortunately, is inevitable. I think we're already within a recession. It's really a matter of the extent of how deep it goes. And to put some data behind that and to put some data behind what you're hearing from, you know, folks who are giving you really sort of apocalyptic prognostications, the University of Michigan conducts a survey of consumer sentiment. It's really the gold standard of consumer confidence. That survey goes all the way back to the 1950s. Well, we just hit an all-time low. All time. So, I mean, think of all the tumult that the United States has been through over the last seven decades, the Vietnam War, you know, more recently, the CCP virus, the housing crisis, the dot-com bubble bursting, all of that. Confidence never got as low as it is right now in the United States under Joe Biden. So if you combine that, you know, I mentioned the manufacturing side, if you combine the industrial side and that pronounced weakness, if you combine that with absolutely literally record low, all-time low consumer confidence, that tells me that, yes, we are absolutely already in a recession. It hasn't been officially sort of marked yet. That comes after the fact. But we're in a recession. It's extent of how deep. Now, I want to make sure people are properly warned, but I also don't want to induce any unnecessary paranoia. So here's what I would say. Things are bad. Things are going to get worse. However, if we elect the right Congress, this in these upcoming primaries, which are over the coming weeks, and then certainly this fall, if we elect the right Congress, then we can start to stop the bleeding at the beginning of next year in January of 2023. How? By stopping the exorbitant borrowing and spending. But when I say the right Congress, Charlie, I don't just mean Republicans, because unfortunately, there are plenty of Republicans who have completely been collaborators in this economic disaster. And I would particularly point to those who voted in favor of this ridiculous mountain of money for Ukraine to escalate a conflict in which the U.S. has no definable national security interest, and a conflict which is massively exacerbating what was already an inflation crisis well before that conflict started, but it's exacerbating it. Plenty of Republicans, unfortunately, went along. I think it was only 50-something in the House that voted against. In my opinion, every single Republican who faces a primary, who voted in favor of that package, or if they're not in office yet, was in support of that package, they need to be ousted, because they are to blame. Biden is mostly to blame, but they are partly to blame for this inflation surge in this country, this inflation explosion that is so painful for so many Americans.
I totally agree. A American president who was a leader would have said, okay, you want Eastern Ukraine, Vladimir Putin? You don't move an inch. We'll host elections. We'll see what Eastern Ukraine wants. Don't fire a missile or a bullet. And then you tell Zelensky, listen, Zelensky, we basically finance your whole regime. If you have to give away Eastern Ukraine, then so be it. It would have avoided all of this catastrophe. Instead, we're funding this proxy war that is actually getting more people killed, that is putting us into a conflict even deeper. And then they say, well, you know, inflation is because of Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine, which, of course, we don't support. It's awful. It's terrible. Right. Every rational person believes that. However, we know it's not because of the war in Ukraine. But even if it was, then why are you trying to make the war in Ukraine last longer?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Then negotiation and peace seeking would be all the more the imperative, right? I mean, that is the reality. And to put that in context, too, because I think sometimes for regular folks, particularly if they're not in the economics, you know, world, when they hear billions and trillions, you know, their eyes roll, which is understandable. To put that in context, $40 billion. And by the way, that's only for a few months. And we've already spent about 15 before that. But $40 billion, to put that in context, that is roughly the budget of the state of Illinois. So think about that. A very major state in the center of this country, the state that you and I used to call home, Illinois, all the things they do, healthcare, schools, prisons, roads, courts, all of that is about $40 billion. And that's over the course of a year, Charlie. That's what we are spending in Ukraine. Now, you know, again, I think that it's a totally inexcusable expense because I don't think there's a vital U.S. national security.
We don't have the money either. So,
but on top of that, we're borrowing the money. Thank you. Further driving up interest rates, further driving up inflation. You know, and let me put this in tangible terms. For the first time in U.S. history, the average apartment rent in America is now over $2,000 a month. Now, if real wages were galloping higher, we might say, hey, fine. People are making way more. They can afford $2,000 a month. But real wages, meaning wages adjusted for inflation, are crashing. And yet apartment rents are soaring. And I would, by the way, say apartment rents have 0.0 to do with Vladimir Putin. Okay, Putin is not involved in the American property market. The crisis in Ukraine has no bearing here. But yet we see rents soaring to all-time highs. A lot of Americans simply cannot afford that's average. Okay, we're not talking about palaces. We're not talking about rentals for a manor. For an average apartment in the United States, they simply cannot afford that given where prices are exploding everywhere else in their life, gasoline, food, you name it. And when you put all this together, it results, though, also, I think, in political opportunity, Charlie. So as bad as the situation is, and it's terrible, if the America First movement can present a credible, actionable plan to get back to the kind of economy that we had in 2018 and 2019 before the CCP mm-hmm. virus. If we can persuade the American people that we have those answers, and we do, then we sweep these elections and we can start to save this country starting next year.
Steve, tell us about Peter Meyer.
Yes. Well, one of my least favorite people in the United States Congress. Thankfully, he's facing an incredibly credible and Trump-endorsed opponent in John Gibbs in the primary. Peter Meyer represents the 3rd District of Michigan, which is West Michigan. He is the scion of the Meyer family. He's extremely wealthy by luck of birth. He voted for the impeachment. He's a Republican in name, and he voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump. I just put up an article about him, though, that is more focused on the economy. I mentioned the previous segment, the economic collaborators, the Republicans who have gone along with the inflationary madness of Biden and Pelosi. Exhibit A would be Peter Meyer, because he voted for both the Ukraine package that we just talked about, the $40 billion boondoggle, which is basically a no strings attached giveaway to escalate a crisis in which we have no discernible national security interest. But in addition to that, earlier than that, Peter Meyer voted for the $1.5 trillion omnibus. Now, thankfully, the majority of Republicans, even though they knew it was going to pass, they showed the good sense and the principles to vote against the omnibus package. Peter Meyer did not show that good sense. So he personally has enabled, he personally is complicit, along with Biden, along with his entire administration, in enabling and inducing this massive inflation. So if you're suffering right now because of these gas prices, and so many Americans are, every American of modest means is really suffering right now because of these gasoline prices. If you can't afford the renewal on your lease for your apartment because it is so expensive, think about Peter Meyer. And if you live in the 3rd District, if you live in West Michigan, the Grand Rapids area,
good folks out there, kick them out.
Yeah. That Peter Meyer, he wants to put the priorities of MSNBC over Muskegon in his district. He wants to care more about the Black Sea War than he does about Battle Creek, which is in his district. And thankfully, as I said, he has a very credible challenger. John Gibbs is a fantastic man. He served in the Trump administration. He earned the endorsement of President Trump. He's a really promising young Black conservative. He graduated from both Harvard and Stanford. He was a missionary, a Christian missionary in Japan. He's fluent in Japanese. He's an incredibly impressive young man in many, many ways, and he fully embraces the America First agenda. So if you live there, I encourage you to vote for him. And wherever you live, I encourage you to consider supporting him, because we need to punt all of those pro-impeachment Republicans. We've already gotten rid of several, but the job's not done. And Peter Meyer is one of them who has to go. Somebody who, again, is directly responsible for this inflation. We can't totally let people like him and Mitch McConnell escape the blame. It's primarily Biden's. Absolutely. He has majority ownership, but there are minority ownership stakes over this inflation, and some of it belongs to Peter Meyer.
It's good folks out there in Western Michigan. A lot of good Dutch folks. And lot of Chicagoans that summer there, as you well know.
Right.
I can tell you that Peter Meyer does not represent the values of Western Michigan at all. They're strong, conservative, pro-American people from Holland to Grand Rapids, and they shouldn't put up with it. Peter Meyer's got to go. And he's well connected, though. He's well connected right. in the ruling class of Western Michigan.
No, he has a lot of money, a lot of name ID, right? So it won't be easy, but so far, John Gibbs looks good in the polling, and this is one of those races that I think we really have to win.
I agree. Steve, thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. You bet.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.